Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Princess Cruises and Outrigger Hotels decide higher gratuities and fees are a good thing, and American Airlines flyers keep their fingers crossed this weekend. We have details.
How does a city like Sacramento attract new air service? Will they go out and hire an air service development marketing manager?
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yes, it is. We meet Sacramento Airport's new ASDMM. That's the Air Service Development Marketing Manager at 320 today.
Our friend Ed Perkins has returned from a trip to New Zealand, and we get some highlights of his travels and his opinions on a variety of travel issues at 335.
Well, it's been a while since we cleaned out the old Travel Guys mailbag filled with questions that you ask online, and Mark tackles some coming up at 350.
A lazy Sacramento Sunday rolls on. Thank you for spending part of it with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Chickens out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
To another edition of the Travel Guys and Entertainment here on KFBK. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark is to my extreme left today. Mark?
Yeah, there's a few walls and miles. Key West, Florida, my friend.
There you go. And that's what, and it's not that Mark is in the studio and he's still on his phone. In Key West, and what takes you to Key West?
I am down here on business. I'm here, Tom, to negotiate hotel rates, and this has become one of the most difficult places in the country to procure hotels for my group that comes down here every year. So I'm down here to try to make sure that that all works out.
And how was the flight through? I'm guessing you went through Orlando.
I did. I was in Orlando for business for a few days before coming down here to Key West, and then I'm headed up to Washington, D.C. for a National Park Service meeting next week in the Capitol. But, yes, Orlando is a really busy airport. Next week we've got to talk a little bit about Orlando and the extra time that is required to get through that particular airport.
Well, let's do this. We got a lot of stuff to cover today. Let's jump right to what we always do at the top of the Travel Guys radio show, and I hear a lot of folks enjoy this. It kind of gets them up to date. It's called the Travel News. Stand by. Here comes the Travel News music for this week. Here it comes. Oh my gosh, is it ever going to get here? Hey, you recognize our alternate Travel News music by Huey Lewis in the news, Mark?
I do. And it, so no, what brought that on?
Well, you know, it's World Series time almost, and yeah. That is Back to the Future, and from the music Back to the Future. It's called Back in Time is the song. And, of course, the buzz on Facebook and all around is that depicted in one of the Back to the Future movies is the ESPN newscast. Then in the year 2015, they're in the future in the movie, right? It's 2015, which is hard to believe that. But then again, this movie did come out, gosh, you know, 25, 30 years ago. And it depicts on the screen on the ESPN sportscast, the Chicago Cubs win the 2015 World Series.
Oh, my goodness. And we are in 2015, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4 teams left, and one of them is the Chicago Cubs.
There you go. How about those Dodgers, huh?
Yeah, they'll be watching the World Series comfortably from their television sets, unfortunately, like our Giants. But anyhow, on with the travel news, my friend. Outrigger Hotel has always prided themselves of being one of the few hotels in Waikiki that didn't charge a resort fee. So travel agents were a little bit surprised this week when they got an email from Outrigger Hotels that announced not a resort fee, but a new Waikiki connection fee. How clever. It's $30 a day plus $1.42 tax. It's non-commissionable, they told the travel agents. That means they don't have to share it with anyone else. And Outrigger touts a long list of things that travelers get for their money, including Wi-Fi, internet access for up to 3 devices. Except the only thing is that before the connection fee came along, Outrigger used to brag that internet was free at their property. You'll get 60 minutes of long-distance phone calls, which I know most of us from Hawaii will be grabbing their phone in the room to make phone calls or not. Children get breakfast for free. Children under five. How many of you traveled to Hawaii with children under five? I don't see many hands going up. you also get a coupon book, and anybody who's ever been to Hawaii knows how rare those coupon books are. I mean, they're barely on every street corner, so that's really of great value. Anyway, this is just a way of saying that Outrigger Hotels is a Waikiki connection fee. They have joined the ranks of those who are charging services that are charging greater fees. And speaking of greater fees, Princess Cruise Lines, we've told you about some of the other cruise lines raising their gratuity charges, has raised their charge to $12.95 per passenger per day. People in suites will pay a little more. That's effective at the first of the year. They join most of the other major cruise lines in that. However, remember, if you're traveling on a cruise ship and you're paying a gratuity fee that's added to your bill like that, before you get off the cruise ship, review your bill, and if you decide that you don't want to pay that much gratuity, or you decide you want to add a little more, why, that can always be done before you get off. Let's see here. What else is going on in the world? American Airlines is merging their computer system this weekend. American Airlines and U.S. Airways are becoming one airline. If you think back to the last time two airlines did this in 2010 when United and Continental merged, I was flying that weekend. It was a catastrophe. But so far, Tom, it appears as though everything is going well. And you know, I've been in two airports this weekend, mm-hmm. and so far American Airlines seems to be holding on. I don't see any big lines. There's nothing online about it. I talked to a couple of their gate personnel, and they said there have been no glitches at all. So everything seems to be going pretty well for American Airlines with their switch their merger with U.S. Airways this weekend.
Very good.
We generally have an Uber story just about every week. You know, a ride-sharing story, and we have one this weekend. Some Uber drivers, according to Mashable, have gone on strike this weekend. According to their Facebook page, they have over 1,200 confirmed strikers. Well, that's a little less than 1% of Uber's drivers in the country, so this is perhaps not a big deal. But according to Mashable, the group is demanding the addition of a tip option to the app. Remember, Tom, when Spencer Hughes told us the reason he liked to drive for Lyft was because his customers could give him a tip.
There you go.
And so now the Uber drivers, at least this group of them, are saying they would like that opportunity when they're driving for Uber, and also they want an increase to the minimum fare, and they want a cancellation fee added in. So some Uber drivers are perhaps not all that happy with their boss that isn't really their boss, because remember, they're all private contractors. And finally, United Airlines, which lost its CEO to a little bit of a problem up in with the New Jersey Port Authority a few months ago, their interim CEO, Oscar Munoz, suffered a heart attack this week. He's being treated at his Chicago hospital. No update yet on how he is doing, and already the bad jokes have started online about, you know, the fact the reason he had a heart attack was because he went out and really looked at United's operation, and that's what drove the man to the hospital. But anyway, our best to United's new CEO, who is in the hospital trying to get over that. And I think, Thomas, that is just about our travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be meeting with the brand new Air Service Development Marketing Manager. We're going to find out about the future of new air service to the Sacramento area. You're not going to want to miss it. That's next, right here on the Travel Guys. You're listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman to my left. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we've been promising you, it's time to get up to date with what's going on out at the Smurf. Is that okay to call it that, Mark? What do you think?
Well, you know, that's kind of an inside joke for years. The people at the Newburgh, New York airport, which I believe was S No, it wasn't. Was it SNF? Bags used to go SWF. There we go. Bags used to go to that airport with great regularity that were headed for Sacramento. And indeed, among a lot of the folks in the industry, a lot of the flight attendants and pilots refer to Sacramento as Smurfville because our airport abbreviation is SMF.
For our listeners, this may get a little confusing because this is the first time in a while that we've had our special guest on the show who is the same name as my co-host, Mark. So it's going to be Mark, and I might get confused, but hopefully our listeners won't.
Mark, let me make sure I'm pronouncing your name right. Haneke, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, and Mark, you are the Air Service Development Marketing Manager at Sacramento International Airport for the Sacramento County Department of Airports. What is an Air Service Development Marketing Manager?
Well, air service development is really the practice of trying to attract a new and additional air service to the airport, and marketing is one component of that. So, you know, in my job description, it includes trying to reach out to both incumbent as well as prospective airlines and grow the air service at our airport here.
I know that a lot of those things, Mark, are kind of sensitive, negotiations and stuff like that, but tell us what you can tell us.
Yeah, well, Sacramento obviously is a large airport. I mean, in DOT terms, it's a medium-sized hub, but we're on target to be about 9.3 million passengers for this calendar year, and we've seen a lot of growth over the last several months. Traffic is up year to date almost 7%. It's quite healthy, and that's on 2% capacity growth. So we're actually seeing that the passenger growth is outstripping capacity growth, and so we're trying to add as many additional seats as possible to keep up with the demand. And as the local travelers have probably experienced, we have a number of flights to a number of destinations that are operating at very high load factors. So it's not uncommon for some of our key peak markets to see load factors in excess of 90% on a year-round basis. So very healthy load. So we're trying to get larger aircraft and or more flights to some of our key destinations.
So your job is not only to try to get new service or new carriers, but also to get new service from existing carriers or to get them to put on larger airplanes. Like, for example, those of us who take the Puddle Jumper to San Francisco, I refer to it as the hamster plane.
Right.
But now I would refer to it as the two hamster plane because now it's a real 50-passenger jet. And the 50-passenger planes are a lot more dependable than the Brasilia planes that were in there, the 30-something passenger before. So that's a small improvement, but it's a very welcome improvement for those of us who fly on those airplanes because not only are those a little more comfortable to fly on, but mechanically they're a little bit more dependable. And by knocking out United knocked out a bunch of flights by using slightly bigger airplanes. And, of course, in San Francisco, anytime that happens, it's good news. So that's what you're after. You're out there trying to find. So someday if Virgin America lands in Sacramento, it'll be because Mark was out doing his job. Is that kind of what you're telling us?
Correct. Yeah, that's the right idea.
So tell us, in your dream world, you've been here for a few months now, in your dream situation, what service would come to Sacramento? What would you like to see come here? I mean, without mentioning any names or anything like that, what's on the wish list?
Sure. Well, in terms of markets, I mean, I can focus on that because there are some holes that we'd like to fill in our existing route network. So in terms of new nonstop markets, some of the desirable ones would be a nonstop flight to Orlando, and some of the beach destinations might be Cabo San Lucas as well as Puerto Vallarta, maybe some additional flights to Hawaii as well. And that would be more on the leisure side of things. But then on the business side of things, Austin is a market that would be really desirable to have nonstop flights to. I think there would be a good synergy there between the vibe in Austin with their South by Southwest and their live music capital and our farm-to-fork concept here that we're pushing. So I think there are a lot of synergies between those two markets. But we're trying to get additional, generally speaking, we're trying to get additional lift in some transcon markets. This past summer, JetBlue launched nonstop service to Boston, which was really a welcome growth
in
that market.
Right. And even though it was a red eye going back to Boston, which was a little inconvenient for folks, it was not a red eye coming from Boston. We left at 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the evening. In fact, I brought a group home on it one night. And JetBlue is an excellent airline, so that type of service. I noticed that the overnight to Charlotte with US Air survived after Labor Day this year. At least
exactly.
It's still...
Yeah, that's one of those key flights that I was mentioning is in excess of over 90% on a year-round basis. And right now, U.S. Airways has been serving the Charlotte market on a summertime or extended summertime basis, but they expanded the season for that flight to the end of October, and they're going to be bringing it back again in early March. So that means that there's only 4 months out of the year where we won't have nonstop service to Charlotte, and the desire is to eventually grow that to daily year-round.
Mark, anything else on your radar that you can tell us about?
Yeah. Well, I attended a global aviation conference a couple of weeks ago in South Africa, and what that is really kind of like speed dating for airlines and airports. It's an opportunity for airports to meet with airlines from around the world, and it's called the World Routes Conference, and it rotates around to different cities every year. Last year it was in Chicago, this year in Durban, South Africa, next year in Chengdu, China. And I thought it was symbolically very important for Sacramento to be a part of that discussion. There are a number of other airports from California, including San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, San Diego, Los Angeles, LAX, that attend that conference on a regular basis. So we basically wanted to hang our shingle out there and say, hey, we're on the world stage, and we're anxious to compete in some of those markets and try to attract additional service. So to that end, I had some exploratory discussions, the initial discussions with some international carriers in Europe as well as Asia. And it's not like we're going to get nonstop service to Europe or Asia overnight, but you definitely have to start the conversation someplace. And in a lot of cases, it was a matter of educating some of these carriers on where Sacramento is and some of the competitive advantages of our geographic location relative to some of the inbound tourism hotspots here in Northern California, specifically our proximity to Napa as well as Tahoe and Yosemite and the other great wine regions and that kind of thing close by.
We're talking with Mark Haneke, who is the Air Service Development Marketing Manager for Sacramento International Airport. And we're talking a little bit about, we asked Mark what his wish list was for Sacramento, since he's the man kind of in charge of getting out there and letting folks know that this is a viable airport and a good alternative. Mark, have you had much pushback from the airlines? I know there's been a lot of discussion about the cost of flying into Sacramento. We talked to the head guy out there at the airport recently. He told us that, yeah, it does cost a little more, that he was working very hard on getting that cost down. Is that a factor in trying to attract new airlines?
I wouldn't say it's a deterrent to attracting new airlines, especially when you're dealing with full service carriers. They understand that that's part of the cost of doing business, and every airport embarks on some type of expansion program, and that's going to include some initial higher costs. The good thing about us, as relates to, and what the cost that you're referring to is called CPE. It's the cost per in-plane passenger figure. And
right.
Right now we're around $16 per passenger, and we have a desire, senior management has a desire to bring that figure down closer to the $12 to $14 range, and then we'd be on par with some of the other competing airports in Northern California.
Which I'm guessing would make your job a little bit easier.
Sure. But that cost in and of itself is not a make or break situation. It's part of what goes into the overall equation for adding new service. Typically speaking, some of the low-cost carriers tend to be more sensitive to that kind of thing because their margins are much slimmer.
We did lose Frontier a few years ago, but, you know, in the direction that their service, and this is coming from me, not from you, but the direction that their service has gone, which is to kind of emulate the Spirit business model. Frankly, I think Sacramento travelers are better served by the fact that those airlines do not serve our city. Because they are at the top of the complaint heap, every complaint heap that you look at, and I can't imagine that they wouldn't be at the top of your complaint heap for some of the same reasons. So I think that the accent on quality service and on people who can get the job done and who are on time and perform well, I think is very important. Our airport has a reputation for that. Anytime I talk to a tour operator and they say, well, we're coming into Northern California, I'm like, well, you should consider flying into Sacramento, because after all, fall, flying into Sacramento and getting on a motor coach and leaving the airport is one heck of a lot easier to do in Sacramento than it is to do in San Francisco. Yeah, we'd love to see something like maybe a Newark flight. Put that on your list with United Airlines. I mean, United has a lot of lift from here. There's no reason in the world why we shouldn't have. We did have an overnight with Continental to Newark many years ago, and JetBlue even had a daytime flight back in the heydays when the airport was growing by leaps and bounds. So now that we're growing by leaps and bounds again, anyway, that's my wish list. Anything that goes further and goes during the daytime, these red eyes are wonderful, and God bless JetBlue for considering us. The Boston thing was wonderful, but of course, daytime flights are a little easier. I tend to travel with mature travelers in our group, so the daytime flights help us a little bit. Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about this stuff today, because the people who are using the airport, I think, need to know what might be on the drawing board. And what you've done is just kind of given us a little bit of a look at what might be on the drawing board. So I really do thank you for your time. And I hope that if you've got something fun to report, or I don't care if it's Seaport to Visalia. by the way, they were very nice. We had them on the show, and they were very nice people. You know, if you get anything that you'd like to share with folks or get any feedback on, why keep us in mind?
Sure, would be happy to.
We are the Travel Guys, and coming up, we're joined by one of our most informative travel guests, Smarter Travel's Ed Perkins, on a number of travel subjects. That's in 3 minutes, right here on the Travel Guys. Travel Guys on the radio, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Time to invite back one of our favorite guests of all time. Mark, introduce our guy.
He's been on the other side of the planet here for a while. I wrote him an email and said, hey, I haven't heard from you for a while. I haven't seen your name on anything. And he said, well, that's because I've been in New Zealand for a couple of weeks. Welcome back, Ed Perkins, to the Travel Guys.
It's good to be back to the U.S. and back to be talking with you guys.
How's everything up in Ashland?
Oh, same as ever. Fortunately, the fires around us are gone. But we're still having an unusually warm and dry fall.
You headed off to New Zealand for a couple weeks. Was there a purpose to your trip? Was it just leisure? What did you do?
The purpose of all of my trips is obviously to take a look at places and, as appropriate, report on what I find.
We should let people know why we visit with Ed Perkins. Ed writes for smartertravel.com, and you've been keeping listeners up to date on, well, all kinds of things to make them smarter traveler for some years.
Ed, welcome back to the United States and back to Southern Oregon. And one thing that I really wanted to talk to you about, we haven't really talked about this, but over the years, you've been a pretty progressive guy in terms of the ideas that you have thrown out about travel. I consider you to be the father of Economy Plus, because you were talking about the concept long before any of the airlines finally decided it was a good idea. We're into this sharing economy now. Uber and Lyft and Airbnb are in the news practically every day. You almost can't pick up a travel news feed without seeing one of those guys in it, and sometimes all three of them. What are your thoughts, Ed, on the whole concept of the sharing economy and how it's changing the travel world?
It's a complicated situation, partly because of the fact that the reason you see so much of it in the press is the pulling and hauling between the traditional means of accommodations and cars and the new ones. And there are also the politics of fees and licenses involved. So it's a very complicated situation, what would seem on the surface to be quite simple. Sooner or later, these things are getting resolved. I mean, airports for a while tried to keep Uber out, for example, but now they've decided to cut deals with Uber, and as long as they get revenue out of it, they don't really care who's driving the car. And I think you're going to see more and more of that, that the local authorities that didn't like the Airbnb are coming around as long as they get their occupancy tax revenues.
Well, and Ed, it's in San Francisco, there's a ballot measure to limit people's ability, even more than current regulations do, to limit people's ability to be able to be to rent out rooms and apartments, because apparently people are taking things off the rental market in San Francisco and just Airbnb-ing them all the time. So in a city that already has issues with housing, that's kind of a problem.
Yes, it is. And it's part of the problem is that on a per-night basis, a property owner can get a lot more than on a monthly rental. And, of course, San Francisco is sort of an unusual case. Probably of all the major cities in the U.S., it has the worst problem with affordable rentals. I think it's even worse than New York City. So, there are local issues like that, but nationally, I think that those regulatory issues are slowly going away. They're getting resolved.
Now, Ed, do you think that with the sharing economy and where things are headed, do you see it as an improvement for the general public overall?
I think more choices always constitutes improvement for the consuming public.
I think sometimes Tom and Ed both, that when you see the objections coming from the status quo, when you see taxi drivers up in arms because they're losing their business, well, guys, you should have been up in arms a long time ago. If you'd have cleaned up the cabs and worn some cleaner clothes and gotten rid of, you know, the incense or whatever other smell, and you guys only laugh because you know I'm right, that people experienced when they got into your cab and they had that experience and they got out and they said, well, God, that was awful. So as soon as they had an alternative, they were all over it.
Yep.
Well, yes, and another part of that picture is that in a lot of places, including San Francisco, the supply of cabs was kept at a lower figure than the market would really demand. So there was literally a shortage of cabs during peak periods.
I see an article the other day that says, you know, do people realize how much the wear and tear on their tires and their brakes? And we spoke to an Uber driver last week who said, you know, look, I had this Ford Explorer and I decided if I was going to do this on any kind of regular basis, I needed something else. So I went out and bought a Prius Hybrid. You know, this is a man who obviously is thinking this through a little bit and figuring out how he can really make this sharing economy work for him. But he also commented that Uber has, at least on a couple of occasions, significantly lowered the percentage or the charge that they make to people so that the amount of money that he's making has been reduced pretty dramatically.
Well, it's a fluid market. It's economics 101, supply-demand price, that the price moderates between supply and demand. And I'm not surprised to see some cut prices there.
Ed, let me ask you, we talked about, I mentioned earlier in the interview about the introduction about you kind of being I think you're the father of Economy Plus. Do you see any possibility that this airline situation, is anybody going to emerge and say, hey, I'm a new airline and there's plenty of legroom here? Or are we just headed down this path of $19 airfares and grab your ankles after that?
I don't think that's necessarily the case. I mean, JetBlue, for example, even after some pressure from Wall Street, is still offering a decent legroom product, even without paying for the premium extra. And Virgin America apparently is still doing a decent job. So there are at least three good-sized, what I call niche carriers, which are Alaska, JetBlue, and Virgin America, that are, in fact, competing at least somewhat on the basis of quality rather than just the $19 fare. But the fact remains that as long as the bulk of the market chooses their airline on the basis of low fare, you're going to see that continued downward pressure on the product quality. And anybody who does better is going to be either a niche player or it's going to be a submarket like the Extra Economy Plus and so on of the mass market that only a small portion of people buy.
Our guest is Ed Perkins. Ed is a longtime consumer advocate, writes for smartertravel.com, really the best travel website out there, particularly for those of you who are not road warriors. And I'm a road warrior myself, and I use it tremendously, but a lot of good information there. Ed, before we let you go today, you went to New Zealand. Tell us a couple of places that really made an impression on you. Where did you go? New Zealand is a spectacular country. Give us a two-minute travelogue.
Okay, well, on the North Island, I went to the geothermal area where they have geysers and the sort of the Yellowstone kind of stuff, as well as some very interesting entertainment and destination features. And then I flew to the South Island and rented a car and did what I think is sort of a classic loop. You start out someplace on the East Coast, which is a large plain, and one way or another get over or around the mountains, the so-called Southern Alps, and drive down or up or down the West Coast, which is quite spectacular, and then come back to the East Coast to get in and out. And the Alps down there are very spectacular. I mean, you have peaks going up to 12,000 feet from virtually sea level. And so you see all of the mountain that way, and it really is quite nice. The other thing I would have to comment on is the New Zealand people are really friendly, really helpful. I just was overcome by how nice everybody was.
Did you have a favorite city, and did you get to Queenstown?
I did get to Queenstown, which is one of the most beautifully sighted cities you'll ever find. It's sitting there on a lake with the mountains in the background, and it's really spectacular.
I'm glad to hear that. It's been fully 30 years since I have been to New Zealand, and I'm the sports leisure schedule has a trip to New Zealand next fall, which is kind of up New Zealand and Australia. So I'm hoping to go there. Ed, thank you so much for some of your time and also a few little travel hints there. I will, now that you're back in the country, I'm sure we will start seeing a steady stream of Ed Perkins stuff, and we'll have plenty of stuff to talk to you about in the future. Take care, my friend, up in Southern Oregon.
Well, you guys too, have a great fall, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Ed. And if you're just joining us, you stumbled across the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations here on KFBK. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to clean out the TravelGuysRadio.com mailbag. And Mark's going to answer your questions for you right here on the radio. That's next on the Travel Guys.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road.
Welcome back. We are the Travel Guys. We are rounding the corner and heading for home here, last segment of the program. And I thought it would be fun, Tom, to do something that I guess I should mention, we're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I thought it would be fun to go to the mailbag. We haven't done that for a long time, and the questions are piling up online, and people always ask these questions, some of them great, some of them not so great, some of them just advertisements for things that people want me to buy from online.
There you go.
But so, Tom, you've got the mailbag there, so ask away.
I do, and we've got a lot of great stuff here, so let's reach into the mailbag, and let's start with something local. What do you say, Mark? Okay, listener says, I heard you mention new parking rules at the airport. And I was probably one of those that mentioned it because I never could figure out where and how to pay. Anyway, they said, but last week, sounds just like me, they figured they would try it out, and they wanted to try and pay, but they couldn't find the machine to pay. What do you know about that?
Well, look when you right when you get out of the elevators. If you take an elevator, look right when you get out of the elevators in either terminal, when you're on the edge of the parking garage there. So, or if you don't take the elevator, then look on the ground floor near the elevator. That's where the machines are right now. And the airport people are. This is all a work in progress. So they're working on more signage and more directions and stuff like that. So try it next time you go out there. Hey, listen, we have a tip too. For people, Tom, did you know that you don't have to get a parking ticket at the airport with the new machines when you enter the parking lot? If you stick your credit card, don't push the button for a ticket.
Okay.
Put your credit card in the slot where the ticket comes out, where you would normally put your credit. The ticket and the credit card go in the same slot in these new machines. You put your credit card in when you go in, you don't get a ticket. You'll use the same credit card when you go out in the express lane. It knows exactly what to charge you. How cool is that?
There you go.
Lori Sothauer was telling us about that the other day, and I can't wait to use it at the airport. The thing is, now you don't have to worry about losing the ticket. And if you've ever, I've done that a couple times, and they charge for losing the ticket. And plus, you have to sign something, and you hold up the line, and you're delayed. And so the idea of being, for those of us who go out there quite frequently, you can use your credit card, and you don't have to get a ticket at the airport. Insert your credit card going in, insert the same credit card going out, you're in business. Next question, Mr. Romano.
All right. This one may sound a little silly, but for the person who wrote it, it's very important. They bought a ticket on US Air. They heard that they're going out of business. Mark, what do you know?
Well, U.S. Airways is indeed ceasing to exist. I think it's, Tom, it's happening right about this weekend or within the next couple of days. U.S. Airways has merged with American Airlines. So, indeed, while the name U.S. Airways is going to cease to exist, I'm going to guess it's still going to be on the side of some of the airplanes for a while. But at airports and stuff, you're going to see less and less signage that says U.S. Airways on it and more signage that says American. So not to worry, your U.S. Airways ticket is now an American Airlines ticket.
All right, let's go across the pond here. Is it safe to go to Greece? This person asked. They want to have. Are they going to have any trouble getting money at exchange or getting money, period, when they go to Greece, based on news in the over the last 6 months?
No restrictions currently on being able to withdraw for anybody, for Greeks or non-Greeks, to be able to withdraw. That situation has calmed. So you can go to Greece, and yes, you will be able. But remember now, when you go to a foreign country and you put your card in the ATM, you're going to get back the currency from that country, not dollars. And also remember our words of wisdom about being very careful about using especially airport ATMs now, because the exchange rates are no longer favorable because the airports are using not banks, but companies that provide them with a commission. And so they're having to lower the exchange rate, and you're getting skewered at the airport in many cases. So make sure if you're getting if you're doing exchange at an airport, that you are getting a fair rate, or that you're going to a bank on the streets or an ATM at a bank on the streets in order to get a good rate.
You're listening to the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and we're dipping into the mailbag, and that's at travelguysradio.com. Listener wants to know, I want to travel to Cuba, but all the packages are kind of expensive. Is there any way to do Cuba on the cheap? And I know we looked at this earlier and I said rowboat, but that's it.
which has been tried, I think, over the years.
Usually there to here, right?
The answer is no, there really isn't. And the reason for that is because Cuba was not a country that was sitting there dying on the vine, waiting desperately for United States tourists to show up. Cuba is a destination that has, United States is the only, Americans are the only people who weren't coming. So Canadians were coming, Americans were coming through Cuba, through Canada. Europeans were coming, people from all over the planet were coming to Cuba. It's a great destination. It's only those of us from the United States who have been able to go there on still some highly restricted basis lately. And the reason the prices are high is because demand in Cuba is high. It's a wonderful destination, and people are eager to go there. So you are, while you will see in Cuba the same things that you see in other resort destinations, you will see really, if you went to Hawaii, Tom, you can stay in a really upscale hotel in Waikiki, or you can stay in an inexpensive hotel a few blocks from the beach. And there's lots of levels in between. Cuba has the same thing. My company is selling a package to Cuba. Chris Galloway is taking his third group over there in January, and they're it's a very upscale package. And he's in fact going to some parts of Cuba he hasn't gone to before, just because he feels very confident in doing that now with his experience in having been there. But it's lots of, you're going to see different levels of packages, and be careful about buying a package to Cuba, because you buy one that's too inexpensive, then you're going to go and stay in the Motel 6 or the equivalent. I mean, you know, it's not a secret in a world of travel, when you're going to destinations that have that are very popular, you're going to pay for them. I mean, that's just the way it is. And if Cuba gets real inexpensive, be careful. Cuba is fairly close to the equator. It's very humid down there. People from California really probably shouldn't go to Cuba unless they're going to go between mid-November and mid-February, because otherwise it's going to be extremely warm.
Well, okay, let's travel a little closer to home. Traveling to New Orleans soon, this listener writes, going for a convention, not going to have a lot of time on their hands. Want to know, what would you put at the top of your to-see list?
Oh, and New Orleans is really a convention city. Without conventioners, New Orleans would be gone. Obviously, the French Quarter. And listen, the French Quarter in the daytime can be a lot of fun. Going down, there's places where you can get beignets, which are, you know, deep-fried dough donuts coated in powdered sugar that will make a mess out of any clothing that you're wearing. So be careful. But those are a lot of fun. And you don't have to go to the Café beignet. There are other places that you can get good beignets in New Orleans. So make sure that you get some beignets while you're there. Make sure that you spend some amount of time in the French Quarter, but it's really not necessary, I don't think, to party there. I enjoy walking through the French Quarter in the afternoon. People are more sober and more attentive, and it's a different kind of person there. So it's fun in the evening also. You can go to your heart's content. In New Orleans, the bars don't close until 4 in the morning. So that's big. There's a lot of historical places down in New Orleans that you can see that are adjacent to the French Quarter. So I would recommend try to get a hotel. If it's a convention and you've got a choice of hotels, try to get a hotel that is within walking distance of the French Quarter, if at all possible. Hotels in the quarter are more expensive, but get outside the quarter, it'll be a little more quiet. I really recommend there's a great Renaissance hotel in New Orleans, just a couple of blocks off Canal Street there. If you have any options, that is really a great place to stay.
Well, okay, this question has to do with sometimes we complain when things don't go our way, and we're always concerned how the outcome of that might be. This person checked into a Vegas hotel. He said he won't mention the names, but there's, I think, some initials like NYNY associated with it. and they were dinged a resort fee. It showed up on their bill. Nobody mentioned it when they checked in. And they've contacted their credit card company, it says here, and they refused to pay the bill. And they are afraid of being blacklisted at some time in the future because they really liked that place that went NYNY, and they would like to be welcomed back. What do you think the outcome would be?
Well, I think that, first of all, hotels are getting less willing to take these resort fees off your bill because as they are being more diligent about making you aware of them, why they feel like that it's, you know, they've told you about it and you should know, you should have known about it. And if you're in a casino and you're a high roller, I'm going to guess you can get that resort fee taken off. But if you're Joe off the street, it's going to be harder and harder to get it taken off. And you just have to be aware of the fact that almost every resort hotel in Las Vegas charges a resort fee. So you're not getting skewered any worse at one generally than the other. What that resort fee buys may or may not be things that you consider important. I strongly advise all people when you're staying in any kind of resort destination at this point, if you don't see a resort fee, you should ask about one and you should consider it part of the room rate. Just if the room is $179 and the resort fee is $30, then the room is $209 any way you look at it.
Okay, one final question here out of our mailbag before we wrap it up, and we're going to come back home. And this has to do with our own local airport once again. Next time you get someone on the airport, from the airport on the line, is the question. Mm-hmm. They wanted us to be sure to ask them about places to eat in the what they refer to as the JetBlue terminal. That would be Terminal A. It's really hard to get something to eat there, especially after 8 p.m.
Now, the good news is...
Yeah? What did Lori have to say?
The good news is that one of the restaurants, the Iron Horse, is slated to open up out there on Friday this week, over this weekend. And I understand the Mexican restaurant will be open by the first part of December, and some of that construction stuff will be out of the way. So I know I fly out of that terminal a lot myself, and I wanted to tell folks about Vino Volo, which is in the A terminal there, has some small plates and stuff now. And I noticed when I was out there the other day, it was packed. So there must be something going on there because it looked like you could get small helpings of things and get a glass of wine. So if you're just looking for a snack and something like that before you get on the plane, it's obvious that some folks are gravitating there. So we just need some more choices. The new choices we have are good. We just need some more choices, and it sounds like that those are coming soon. So thank you, Thomas, for the mailbag.
Sure. Okay. Well, we're almost out of time for today's show, Mark. That means it's time to pull a winner out of the old Traveler of the Week thing you do there so well.
The Sports Leisure, yes. Congratulations to Ruth Jackson, who was our winner last week, who won a $200 travel card. Our winner for this week for a $100 travel card is Dolores Grottinelli. Dolores has traveled with Sports Leisure Vacations for a lot of years. I'm happy to see her name here. Dolores Grottinelli, you've won a $100 travel card from Sports Leisure Vacations. If you call the office Monday or Tuesday at 361-2051, you can claim your prize. So, Thomas, another week in the books, so to speak. And I will look forward to seeing you in studio next week, my friend.
You got it. We are the Travel Guys. Find everything about us at travelguysradio.com and be listening during the week for Mark's travel tip of the week. You stay well. We'll see you next week, 3 o'clock, right here on the Travel Guys.